Well, hello, hello, guys. You're listening to Beauty Bites with Dr. K, Secrets of a Plastic Surgeon. And today's podcast is going to be a great one. We're chatting with Dr. Jason Yuan. He's a licensed naturopathic physician and acupuncturist and a leading educator in consciousness-informed healing. He specializes in biofield therapies. This is called energy healing. And this is really going to help bridge the gap between ancient healing practices and modern science. So he's the founder of the Science of Conscious Healing School, and he hosts a podcast called the Pranic Healing Podcast. He is going to teach us and others how to empower that science of energy healing to awaken their inner healer. Dr. Yuan, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you so much, Dr. K, for having me on. It's a pleasure and honor to be here.
So I know you're also a craniosacral therapist and you do a lot of mindfulness and cognitive therapy, but can you teach the audience and myself kind of what is this whole concept of consciousness-informed healing?
Yeah, so thank you for that question, Dr. K, and especially for your audience, right, that is focused on health and longevity and beauty. As we know, consciousness is such a big word, and as physicians, right, healing is our specialty. So, what I try to do is connect that bridge, and that bridge is what we call an emerging field called biofield sciences. So, it's the bridge between connecting how our thoughts, our emotions, right, affects and impacts our physical body, and we know that there's many different fields to it. But with that sense, what I tell people is think about your body, right? It's like a cell phone, right? It has the hardware that we can see, that we can touch, right? The interface. But really, it's these invisible fields that is called the biofield that also affects our health. And what consciousness-informed healing, basically, that's what it sounds like, is how can we use our thoughts? How can we use consciousness as an active player in terms of steering our health in the intention and the purpose that we want to use it for. So, and that intermediary is this biofield, which science defines as this field of invisible energy and information that reflects the underlying physiological processes that it's already happening. So we're just tapping into this field, but it's not too strange because it is, again, that reflection of what the body's already feeling, anyways, whether it's physical or emotional.
And what kind of made you go into this? Did you train in more traditional kind of forms of medicine and then switched over to acupuncture and conscious healing?
Yeah, so I think this would touch base with your audience. So, Dr. K, I actually once I suffered from chronic severe eczema as a child, right? So, and I had all went through the conventional allopathic Western approach, steroids, antibiotics, creams, all the environmental stuff, allergies. But that didn't really get to the root cause for me, right? And that had a big impact, as we know, the mind-body connection, right? If I'm not feeling confident in my skin, and my skin is oozing, itching, bleeding, inflamed, that has a big impact on my mental health. So what I found was, long story short, was my eczema was a physical response to the underlying subconscious emotional and mental thought patterns that I had about myself. So it was expressing the disease, not because it's bad, but it had to, right? There was no way for me to express these feelings and thoughts, so it had to be expressed through my skin. So when I addressed the root cause, which was these thoughts and emotions, right, for me at least, with my eczema, then I started to heal. Then I started to notice progress. And this wasn't, an overnight journey. I had, chronic severe eczema for, over 2 decades, and it was a constant battle. But, what I try to explain to people is when you understand this other dimension to healing, which is there's this invisible field, which is a reflection of your thoughts and emotions. Then you have an idea like, okay, maybe there's something going on, in my heart center or my throat center and things like that. So that kind of got me along the path because I was on the pre-med path, but being open to more of these ideas, which are rooted in ancient cultures and different practices, that's where I got more down the acupuncture part, the naturopathic physician part. And now I'm more focused on the science of it, which is called biofield therapies.
Yeah, it's so interesting. How do you bring that kind of more scientific rigor into your energy practices, because some people will say this is kind of woo-woo and, it's off of the main teachings of what we have here in medicine. But how do you bring a more scientific approach to energy healing?
Yes. So, and as you may know, Dr. K, right? Medicine can be very strict, very rigorous, right? It's very evidence-based. And I try to be that bridge where we can connect the consciousness piece to the outcome piece, right? How do we look at it a way, speak about it in a way that helps people ground it? Because like you said, this form, these ideas are thousands of years old, but they've received criticism because there's no way to prove it, right? So what I try to do is I try to, I'm also part of a research institute. So I'm the community outreach fellow, which basically I help bring these ideas, these concepts, whether it's research that is being conducted or these ancient theories, and I bring it in a practical way for people to understand and not in a understand, but also apply for themselves, right? So basically, what I do in part of my work is to be that bridge and communicate these ideas in a simplified way. So, for an example, I'll talk about the latest research if you don't mind me segueing to that, because that helps answer your question. So, everyone knows cancer, right? Cancer is a huge problem. We've all probably been touched by someone that has cancer, whether it's our family, friends, or know of someone. So MD Anderson Cancer Center in Texas is the number one cancer center in the United States. Okay. They are conducting research in biofield therapies. Now they're not doing it on humans, they're doing it on mice and cell cultures. But it speaks to what I was telling you in the beginning, Dr. K, which is this consciousness-informed healing. So to give a quick summary, they used a healer. Okay, and it was randomized, sham controlled, basically working on these cells, pancreatic cell lines. And just by him using his thoughts and intentions, right? So the premise is, let me set the premise here. Your thoughts and your intentions have energy, right? Everyone has heard the quote, "Where attention goes, energy flows," right? But we don't have a scientific meter to measure this. So we're kind of doing this in different ways. So there was this healer, he sent healing intentions to these cell cultures, pancreatic cancer cells. And what they found was they also hooked up a brain scan machine to the healer, and they also measured the changes, the fluctuations in intracellular calcium levels of these cancer cells. So for those that do not know, the higher the intracellular calcium levels in these cells correlates to a higher metastatic spread, cancer invasion. So what they found was, when the healer started working on these cells, his brainwave changes correlated. They used some special equation to changes in the drop in intracellular calcium levels in these cells, which corroborate what, testimonials people have been saying. When they do these healing practices, they feel better, right? Whether it's healing cancer, of course, that's a too big of a statement to make. But it's giving clues and signs that our consciousness, our thoughts and emotions, our intentions has this invisible, subtle effect on the body. And this research coming out of MD Anderson is one of the emerging and I would say like high quality, rigorous takes on this field. And it's showing what these ancient practices, ancient teachings have been saying for the longest. Is basically, yes, your thoughts and emotions do have an effect on not only your body, but everyone else around you. So that's sort of the way I can describe it when I speak about this.
Yeah, so and you've also done some work in thinking about animals, how animals can communicate with different energies and frequencies, or how humans, plants, and animals are connected. Can you go into that a little bit?
Yeah, so how I can answer that question, Dr. K, is there was another research before the study, also at MD Anderson, when they had rats. So they had a rats, oh, sorry, mice in a clear plastic box, and they had the healer sort of on and off, right? The healer was setting the intention to heal, and then they had a sham practitioner, right, a fake healer, doing the same thing. What they showed was somehow, some way, right? When we talk about consciousness, it can be very a big subject, but at least for animals, right? Animals know that, they have the basic senses for survival. But when the healer was there, right, the rats crowded the box as if like fishes in a fish tank, just like staring, trying to get closer to the healer versus him not doing the healing or versus the sham practitioner. So this is, again, not to draw conclusions, but again, this is pointing to certain clues, certain footprints, as we say it, that there is this subtle way of communicating with animals. And as you know, plants are a little different, but there's these subtle signatures of what consciousness might be doing, and specifically intention, consciousness-informed healing, which is using your intention to heal someone. And we call that prayer, right? Everyone does prayer in their own ways. So that's another cue to how, we might be able to communicate with our pets. And everyone has their story. Like, how do dogs know their owner's gonna come back home, even though they're like 5 miles away and they're just like waiting at the door, right? We've heard some videos of that. So just cues and footprints of that type of communication.
So interesting. Can you talk a little bit about breath work and how that can kind of change health and brain energies? Because I think breath work is something that many people experience sound work or breath work for the first time and are shocked at how much it affects them.
Breath work comes from, if you've heard of the term pranayama before, right? So it's an practice, an Eastern practice, comes from India and that area as well. But prana, right? If the term for prana means energy, life force. And it comes back to this premise of this field, okay? Biofield, life field, is the foundational practice of breathing has so much effects on the body that science is only just uncovering. Some research to ground what I'm saying is that there's something called circular breath work, and they've done studies how practicing circular breath work changes the carbon dioxide levels in the body that mimics having a psychedelic experience. Okay. And this is, again, where these ancient practices being taught for thousands of years, like these are the protocols, these are the techniques, this is what you do. And now science is finally measuring the body, right? Same thing when they did meditation, right? How meditation was kind of woo-woo and, kind of looked down upon. But there's so much research on meditation. Same thing for breath work. It's another active way how we can cultivate, use this vital energy to support our body. Which corrects the field, the biofield, which leads to better health outcomes. So, breath work, intentions, this is all what I call consciousness informed, because you need to use your mind to set off on this path. But when you have the right tools and techniques, such as breath work, it really can be a powerful way because you don't need anything, right? You don't need to pop a pill, you don't need any tool, you don't need a yoga mat, you can just sit anywhere and start doing breath work.
You talk a little bit about meditation and how that can also change your brain.
Yes, so meditation is one of my, I would say, core practices. It was one of the reasons why I came into this field. And what meditation does is it cultivates awareness. And for a lot of us, right, we're dealing with stress. We have so many things to do in our lives. We have all these obligations, responsibilities, and that affects our mind, affects our thoughts, right? Your thoughts affects your emotions affect the actions you take. So meditation, what I describe it is very simply, you're training your awareness. You're training your awareness not to be a victim of your thoughts and your emotions. So the best way to describe it is like, imagine if you're driving down the highway, right? And you have all these leaves, this mud on your windshield, right? And you can't see reality. You can't see the road in front of you clearly because you have all these limiting thought forms and belief systems about yourself. And this was my healing journey, right? It was realizing my eczema, my inflammatory skin condition, which is a very physical visual condition that affects the body. That for me was coming from these thoughts and emotions that was affecting me. So the practice of meditation for me was very helpful because it helped me clear out sort of this mud on my windshield. And I was able to see, not only my thoughts and emotions more clearly, but the outside world more clearly. And a lot of neuroscience is showing how meditation cultivates neuroplasticity, right? It decreases certain brain signaling pathways that relates to pain. So especially if for those that are dealing with pain management, right? It's not that meditation makes you think that there's no pain. Meditation actually reduces the pain signals, right? So you feel less of that physical pain. But also what meditation does as well is that, suffering has two ways, right? First is the physical part, and then the second is the emotions or the reactions to it. So meditation helps you cultivate to lower that emotional reaction to pain, which is a different neurological response. That's what we call in neuroscience, there's three different types of pain. There's the physical pain, there's the emotional pain, and then there's what's called expectation of pain, which is like a placebo, but it's the opposite, right? So, so meditation basically helps us be very aware of that and just gives us clarity, right, when we move forward with our lives.
And I think they've even kind of mapped brainwaves in people who are meditators that they have strong theta activity, which shows inner stillness and cognitive control. And then in the parietal part of the brain, that they can prevent distractions more, even with their eyes closed, their brain can be very focused and higher gamma waves. I heard that that gives you better insights and perception. So I think meditation doesn't just change you in the instant, but it just resets your brain overall so that you have those traits even when you're not meditating, right?
Yes, absolutely. And that's a big point, Dr. K, is that you don't even need to be meditating to get those benefits. Meditators just have that higher baseline where the benefits are truly long-lasting. Yes.
So interesting. And why is it so hard for us to meditate, to just turn off all the noise?
Well, that's a billion-dollar question. That's if there was a easy fix it solution, right, Dr. K? I think you and I wouldn't be here talking about it. So I think it's just very simply coming back to consciousness itself, right? It's such it's so hard to understand what's going through someone's mind, right? We can do all these questionnaires, we can do give them this diagnosis on what their problems are, their mental health, but consciousness in itself is so wide, and it's like gas, right? That everyone has all these thoughts and emotions in different ways, but it's really because of our society, right? We don't cultivate inner stillness in school. We don't cultivate having a practice where we're like, hey, like I feel this thought, I feel this emotion, I don't really prefer it. Let me just be aware of it. Let me feel it, and then let me move on from it, like let it go. Versus what society teaches us is like you have to do this, right? If you don't do this, you're labeled this by society, and this causes certain emotions, and you become attached to those emotions, and you have certain perceptions of the world because of those experiences. So I think that's the big problem that all of us deal with. And that's why it's hard to meditate, because our minds are constantly turned on. And when it's turned off, it's like it feels so hard because we're not usually doing that. So it's a practice. It's a practice. And what I tell people is just start with 5 seconds. You don't have to meditate for an hour a day, but start with 5 seconds of just having silence in your mind and what that feels like. And from that, you can continue to build. And that's how you get better at it. It's just like working out, but you're working out your mind in that sense.
Well, so I wanted to talk a little bit too about aesthetics and beauty because my patients are into beauty and appearance, but I do feel that there's so much energy that can radiate and reflect on your face and your glow, like you said, your skin and your eczema. Can you talk a little bit about that external manifestation of inner energy?
This is what I call the mind-body connection, right, Dr. K? And you're a specialist in working on the body, helping people feel confident, right, from the outside in. And not to say that everyone needs that. What I advocate is for both sides, right? Dress to impress, right? If you dress well for work, you feel more confident in yourself. And when you're more confident in yourself, you can take actions and do things that you didn't think you could do. So it's the same premise. What I advocate for as well is like plastic surgery, but for your thoughts, for your emotions, right? Take out the stuff, the limiting belief systems, the childhood traumas, which again, these emotions and thoughts emit a certain energy into the field. And when you remove those things, it's just like having more space in your body to hold better thoughts, to hold better emotions about yourself. And there is some, I would say, preliminary research on the same thing that I'm talking to you about, biofield therapies, on how it can help with wound healing. Okay, so there's again just cell line cultures, things like that. But it points to the direction that I've been, you know, to the theme that I've been advocating for this episode is really your mind is so powerful, and it does things that we are not aware of, right? We are not consciously aware of, but it's creating this energy which affects the body. So in the practices that I do, right, me being an acupuncturist, right, there's something called cosmetic acupuncture, which is, you know, there's a physical instrument in the acupuncture needle that helps, you know, stimulate collagen production. But then there's this concept of qi, right, this life force energy. So we're stimulating these pathways in the face, in the skin, to help with the circulation and help it being nourished. So of course, this comes back to the physical body, the physical appearance. And this is very important. Like for myself, I had poor self-esteem, right? Low self-confidence because of this eczema, right? Because my skin was constantly inflamed, constantly itchy, constantly in the repair mode state. And I didn't want to look in the mirror, right? But once I healed, again, from the inside out, for me, these limiting thoughts and emotions, and I started to believe, oh, hey, like I can have clear skin. I can smile without feeling ashamed of my body, right? I can, you know, go out into the beach and swim, you know, with just my swimming trunks and not feel guilty of exposing my body. And of course, I know a lot of women, of course, deal with that on a much broader level, just due to society and the such high standards that women have to deal with. But again, what I'm advocating is for consciousness creates this field of energy. This field of energy does impact your body. And to the degree that we know it is limited right now, but it does have an effect. So for me, that's where I think that even in terms of cosmetics or just kind of even, like I said, there's wound healing benefits. It has so much practical application for it.
Yeah, it's very true. Then acupuncture itself can release certain neurotransmitters, right? I was reading about serotonin being changed or glutamate, dopamine can have enhanced signaling. So is that kind of part of the picture here?
Yeah, so there's so much that we know and so much that we don't know, Dr. K, especially with acupuncture. I am familiar with that. I would say that, you know, we're putting the puzzle pieces together, specifically because I find that acupuncture is sort of that medium to what I'm talking to you about, because sometimes people might not be as convinced when we talk about, okay, healing the body, right, using this energy. But at least they know there's a needle in you. Like, okay, that's a physical instrument that's doing something. And you know, they also tried mapping out the acupuncture meridians, as you may have seen, which are these energy highways, very similar to our blood circulation, blood vessels. There's also this invisible energy highway, and science has been trying for thousands of years trying to map it out. I mean, and it's kind of crazy how it started, you know, back a couple thousand years ago. But it comes back to the point that yes, there's so many things that even with this modality called acupuncture, just using these thin needles, what it can do, But yes, it is very beneficial for mental health because it does affect the neurotransmitters as well. That's a big part of my practice, but it does have, the physical benefits, especially for cosmetics.
We talk a lot about how someone's vibrance and radiance can just sort of the energy they carry, you can feel it when they walk into the room, and certain people are so charismatic and you're drawn to them, and other people have like a low energy. How can we change our biofield? Like you talked about, learning better self-esteem so that projects outward, but is there anything else you can do to change that?
Yes, that's a great question. And I would say the best way to change that is for everyone to learn it for themselves. So what I recommend for people, especially if you're first time, trying biofield therapies, try it from a practitioner, a healer that has a track record, right, of working with the condition that you might be looking to get worked on. And if that resonates with you, if you see the benefits, then I would say, learn it for yourself. Because what's great about biofield therapies is it's accessible. Anyone can learn how to do it. You don't need to be gifted or talented. You don't need to have all these extraordinary abilities that you might see on social media. Anyone can learn how to do it. And I think that's where the science piece comes in, right? Because science is not truth. Science is a process of verifying something or falsifying something. So with biofield therapies, the current process is that everyone can learn how to do it, and same for me, right? So when I realized, when you talk about vibrance and energy and how you evoke certain emotions, when I realized that my root cause of my skin condition came from my thoughts and feelings and emotions, what that felt like energetically was like there was like this dark, heavy cloud over my chest, over my throat. And just like how we have physical hygiene, right? You wash your hands if your hands get dirty. There's something called energetic hygiene, which is you clear the field, right? So yes, you can do talk therapy. Yes, you can do other things that can support your mental health. But again, biofield therapy is really the bridge between the mind and the body, because when you work on this energy, it supports both in your mind and your body, because you're clearing, you're removing this obstacle to this circulation of this energy that supports your field. And I would say that's the best way someone can work on themselves. Yes, you can go to someone else, but it's best if you learn it for yourself. Because again, I don't say that this is the truth. I say that, come to your own conclusion, right? This is my experience, and your experience might be completely different. But if you see results and if it works for you, then, that's where I recommend keep on going and keep on learning.
Is there some like daily go-to ritual that you do or recommend? Like, what's the energy hygiene process for
Yes.
a healthy person?
So, very simply, the things that we've discovered, talked about, meditation is really great. I start every day with at least a 5 minute short meditation, which is intention setting, right? How we set intentions for the day, just to kind of clear my mind and clear my field. Breath work is very powerful too. There's a lot of different apps, right? You can use Headspace, you can use Open, which is another breath work focused type of app, right? That is really accessible for people, especially if you don't want to, find someone, you can just do it on your phone. And then another thing I recommend is salt showers. Okay, so we understand that when people go to beaches, right, salt water areas, they come out of the water and they feel lighter. So salt has what's called negative ions, and it's very grounding, very cleansing, energetically very cleansing for the body too. So what I recommend for people is, and it's not like pink salt, you can use any salt, sodium chloride. What I do is I use my body wash, right? And I pour about a handful of salt, and I mix that in and turn that into like a, pseudo salt scrub. And then I apply it throughout my body from like my neck down. And that in itself, energetically, from the biofield therapies that I've learned and practiced with, it helps break up this heavy stuck energy, right? So like I mentioned, it feels like a dark cloud when I work on people. It makes it lighter, right? It doesn't make it go away, but it makes it lighter so that when you do wash your body, right, it comes off easier. So that's another practical way I recommend for everyone.
So interesting. What if you encounter a person whose energy is just like bristles your fur? You know, like sometimes I've been to a massage or a facial where someone's touching me and I really don't like the feeling of their touch. And then I don't know, something, there is something there. And then other people touch you and they have such a warmth and a healing feel to their energies. You know, have
Yes,
you?
yes. That's such a great question. And that can be also walking into a room, right, Dr. K? You
Yeah.
don't even talk to a person. You just kind of, pick up the vibe that I don't know if I want to really engage in a conversation with this person. So this is what I talk about the field, right? Everyone has a field, and the field, another name for it is called the aura, but I tend to be more neutral, so I call it the biofield. Is that this field is constantly interacting with your body and with your senses, which is your thoughts and emotions and your five senses there. So when not for me, there are same thing what I told you about energetic hygiene, right? Using salt, right, to clean your body, and there's other techniques as well. This is where we get into like intuition, right? And this sort of the science of this gut feeling, right? Because when you understand that our fields are constantly interacting with each other, if you're in tune with your own field, that is your internal GPS, your compass for intuition. And for me, clearly the easiest thing you can do is just have space, right? Physical space, stay away from that person, situation, or event. But if not, there's other techniques, I would say, and these techniques I've learned in my specific healing practice called pranic healing, which is where you shrink your field, you lower your field, so it's closer to your body. So even though they're in your space, you're not opening up your arms to like say, "Hey, I'm going to give you a hug." So you're just closing your field off, so you're not going to be affected by this person or, whatever's going on. So there's different tools, I would say, and I say this from personal experience. Of course, there's not a research study that says this. But this is why I recommend for people to learn, because you can come to your own conclusion that way.
Yeah, so interesting. I also saw you had a post where you're talking about sound and sonogenics and how sound can change your cells and reprogram some of your genes. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, sound is very interesting. So there's in the umbrella of biofield therapies, there's so many different tools and practices. There's something called biofield tuning. Okay. And I want to say that I'm not an expert in this field. I just know of it. And basically, biofield tuning is the same thing. We're using the sound, this frequency, this vibration to change the field as another tool to create physiological coherence, which can be done by meditation, can be done by breath work, and can be done by sound and vibration. So, sonogenetics and that whole field, of course, there's like the sort of medical device premise behind it, right? Using different sound waves to help people with neurological conditions and because it's very hard if you're working on a patient and if they have a certain condition and you can't access that, it's better to use very targeted sound waves to get into that location, right? Rather than doing it more invasively. So, but my expertise comes from the fact that this biofield, right? It can be represented in vibration, in sound, right? Just how we understand electromagnetic, right? The field, the electromagnetic field, there's waves, right? There's vibrations. So that's why, again, this umbrella called biofield tuning is another way to support your body just by using certain notes. I think they use tuning forks and different things like that just to kind of help the body come back to coherence.
Yeah, so interesting. You said there was this article published that talked about acoustic modulation of certain genes in fat cells, that when they
Yes.
sense the vibratory feeling of the sound, that they actually change their genetic profiles and, you know, turn on and off genes that can maybe shrink fat cells and slow down their fat storage mechanism. So I think there's been a lot of new research about that kind of thing. So I it's funny because we use a lot of energy devices and aesthetics. There's a machine called Softwave. There's ultrasound therapy. Everything's getting blasted through the cells, but we don't realize that there may be that connection too.
Yes. Yeah, it's very exciting, and it's this is why I'm excited, right? Because there's a whole spectrum where you can use this in a technology, or you could use it yourself, and your body is the technology.
Yeah, it's interesting. You've trained many healers and practitioners. Do you believe that some certain people have different properties that make them more powerful as healers?
So that's a great question. I would say that everyone has the ability to heal. Now, everyone doesn't start off the same. It's like playing a sport, right? Some people are just naturally a little bit better. They're going to start off a little bit faster. But it doesn't mean that you can't shoot a basketball or hit a baseball, right? Some people can just do it a little bit more consistently. I would say, Dr. K, coming back to consciousness, one of the best healers I've seen is just something called receptivity. So they're just open-minded, meaning that they don't allow their own biases, their own thoughts, their own emotions to come in the way when they're working on a client, right? Because when we talk about biofield therapies, we talk about this concept of you yourself are you're the bridge, you're the channel. You're not really the one doing the healing, but you're just channeling this universal life force that's all around you. So you're not using your own battery, you're using this field of energy that surrounds us. And when you as the healer can step back as far as you can and just let the healing take place, that's when I'm seeing the best healers. Meaning that they don't stand in the way of the healing and they truly let go. So that takes a degree of humility and, character and honesty to do that.
Yeah, understanding that we don't know all the science, that we don't understand things, but intuition is so important with that. Do you think we're heading towards a new generation of medicine where we bring this integrative energy and understanding of biofields into our
Yes.
practices? Because really, bioenergetics is so important.
Yes. I am the proponent for functional medicine, as you know, Dr. K, which is all about integrative medicine, right? Integrating nutrition, mind-body practices, nutraceuticals, all these different practices, right? To really say that, the causation between health and disease and how we kind of pivot between that pendulum there is really based on multiple cogwheels. And I think another cogwheel that is emerging is the science of this biofield and bioenergetics and how our mind, our emotions affects our body. And of course, there's a field called psychoneuroimmunology, which was, 100 years ago, people think you're crazy, right? That your thoughts and emotions can affect your immune system. But, it started about 60 years ago. And now it's such a flourishing field, understanding that, mind-body connection, the gut-brain access that a lot of people talk about. So I think that we are on the full, frontier of something emerging called biofield sciences. And I do think that it is another pillar to health. It's not the main pillar. It's a pillar along with all these other pillars that really helps us bring our body back to coherence and I think that is the future.
I totally agree with you. I think it's so much more than just diagnosing disease, but it's like bringing the body into a state of better energy and health that can just give you all that reflection of not only just outward aesthetic beauty, but more importantly, get your cells functioning and communicating better. Well, so you teach a school and it's the Science of Conscious Healing School. Can you tell us what's next for that and your projects?
Yes, so I have a school community online. So it's for people that are sort of interested in the science of consciousness and how they can use it to, help other people or help themselves. So the mission of the school community is to really be that bridge, to have, logical, rational thinkers, but also people that are interested in more of these, off topic in what seemingly might be woo-woo topics, but really grounded. So it's really for a community of people. If you're a practitioner, if you're an enthusiast, right? If you're a researcher, if anyone, but if you're interested in the convergence of what we call like science and spirit, right? Mind and body, that's something that if you're interested, I'll leave the link for Dr. K so you could check out in the links below. And then I also I do teach this modality called pranic healing. Again, there's many different energy healing practices, but it's the practice that I resonate with. So I do have a class upcoming in New York City at the end of the month, which is June 28th to the 29th. So if you're interested, I welcome you to join in. You know, again, come to your own conclusion, right? And find for yourself.
Yeah, I would encourage everyone to be so interested in wanting to learn more just for themselves. The science is really showing that biofield therapy at the cellular level can change invasion and spread of cancer, metastasis, cell division. I feel like it's going to affect longevity in some ways. I think the centenarians and the people that live a really long time are in a different control of their bioenergy than other folks are. I don't know if you feel the same thing about longevity and aging changes.
Yes. That's a whole new that's an exploding field. I wouldn't say it's a new field, but you know, especially with biohacking and right trying to extend your life and make your body, even though your body's like 50, make it look like it's 20, right? It's such a hot topic nowadays. And like I always advocate, there's so many different cogwheels to health in general. And I think that yes, all these things come into play. And I think that just the biofield is another cogwheel inside this bigger machine that we call the human body. And somehow this machine creates consciousness, which is a whole other separate story.
Well, I'm so glad we got this chance to chat. It's not a topic that we normally talk about, but I really do feel that as a physician, I connect with patients on that energy level all the time. And you do walk into a room, and sometimes a person has an energy that you can feel that's so much negativity or darkness. And it's also my job to put my hands on them and touch them and make sure I bring out their self-esteem and their confidence and their happiness. And I often end my visits with just like, I'm just putting moisturizer or a serum on, but I'm also transferring energy, massaging, and like making sure that they feel settled and confident in themselves. So it's interesting. What we do is, you know, you're poking with needles with acupuncture, I'm poking with needles with other products, but it's really critical to start to think about more than just the physical. It's the biophysical world that we're changing. So
Yes.
there you have it. That's it for now, guys. Don't forget to check out Dr. Jason Yuan. And Jason, what's your Instagram handle and a quick way for people to find you?
Yes, so I would say to answer both those questions, they can just reach me on Instagram. It's spelled DR Jason Yuan, Yuen, and I'd be happy to answer any questions or comments there.
It's super fascinating. I encourage you guys to take a deep dive. And don't forget to find me on my Instagram. It's Beauty by Dr. K, DRKAY. And our website is the same. It's www.beautybydrk.com. It's where you can find our amazing skincare. And if you're in LA, come and see us. That's it for now, guys. Stay beautiful.